continuing the discussion of the gopis. They're in a mad state of consciousness and separation from Krishna. And they're looking all through the forest. It's 12:30 at night. And the full moon is there because it's Purnima. So there's some light rays filtering through the spaces between the leaves. So there's some faint light falling on the forest floor to illuminate the footpaths that the gopis are traversing as they walk hither and thither, here and there in the forest, looking for Krishna, which means looking for their life, looking for their heart, looking for their mind, looking for their everything. Because for the gopis, Krishna is everything. Their world, their future, their everything is Krishna. He's not showing himself. There's no signs. No one's helping them. The deer, the trees, the plants, the flowers. No one's giving any indication of the location of Krishna because they don't speak. But even then, the gopis in their madness, they're interpreting that the deer and the leaves and the flowers are actually communicating with them and encouraging them. Yes, yes, go this way. One deer was rambling hither and thither in the forest and glanced cautiously and fearfully at the gopis, because deer doesn't know friend or foe. Are you my enemy? Are you my friend? So from a cautious, safe distance, the deer glanced and then turned around and thought, I better go the other way. So when the gopis in their vibram, unmad of intense loving separation from Krishna, when they saw the deer glancing at them and then turning away from them and leaving them, they interpreted, oh, I think the deer is actually speaking to us by her posture, by her bodily movements. She's indicating to us, yes, yes, follow me. I've seen Krishna. I know where Krishna is. I will take you to Krishna. The deer was simply running away from the gopis out of fear. Naturally, some strangers to the deer. So then the gopis are following the deer, and suddenly the deer disappears. And then the gopis, oh, the deer must be shy, or Krishna must be right around here somewhere. So in fear of showing us Krishna's location directly, the deer disappeared. So this is quite a state of madness and transcendental love that we're looking at and hearing about. So now we'll begin text 18. Ahuya duraghad yadvat krishnastam anuvartatim venam konantim kridantim anya shamshanti sadviti. Translation. When one gopi, perfect, they're all imitating Krishna. They became so distraught and anguished and separation from Krishna that they thought the only way to see Krishna or to invoke his presence or to feel the presence of Krishna is that we all become Krishna. So in each gopi, in her own way, in her own feelings, in her own outlook, she became Krishna. Because that gopi was thinking, if I become Krishna and start enacting his leelas and pastimes, then this will be a service to me because I'll be absorbed in Krishna. And moreover, and more importantly, it will be a service to my girlfriends, my fellow sakis, because seeing me enacting Krishna's leela and showing the postures and facial expressions and speech of a Krishna leela, then that will appease and satisfy and make that gopi happy and kind of cool down the fever of her separation from Krishna. And Viraha Agni, the fire of intense burning pain of separation from Krishna. So that's what we're doing, we're seeing. So one of those Krishna gopis says, one gopi perfectly imitates how Krishna would call the cows who had wandered far away, how he would play his flute, and how he would engage in various sports. And the other gopis congratulated that Krishna gopi with exclamations of, as it says here, sadhu, sadhu, sadhuiti, sadhuiti, which is translated as excellent, excellent, bravo, bravo, well done, very good, whatever. In your own language, you must know that word. Kumbalo, Bengali, kumbalo, very good. So Jiva Goswami, there's not much to be said. He says small, one sentence. Because we heard in a succession of verses from 15 until 24, now we're in verse 18, one by one their gopis in the mood of Krishna are going through Krishna's Leela in a chronological way, beginning with his infancy, when he's 6 days old, they killed Putana, and then 1 year old, Trinavarta, and I've neglected to say this, Shakatasura demon was after 2.5 months. So it's pretty busy. So the gopis, we've heard the gopis enacting some of his Balya Leelas and Gokul with Damodar. One became Damodar and was fearful that and Mother Yashoda is chasing me with a stick. Everyone knows Krishna's taking his little baby hands and rubbing his eyes. Oh, don't hit me. Ooh, don't hit me. So enact that bhayam, that fear of his mother's punishment. Another gopi was just crawling here and there and said, oh, look how I crawl. Do I remind you, don't I look just like little Lala, Chota Lala? Because she had her ankle bells were jingling and tinkling as she crawled through the mud. And all the gopis said, yes, you are Gopal. You're Sakshat Gopal directly. Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Govinda Gopal. Then Poganda Leela and Chatikar, when Krishna's living there, Vatsasura and Agasura and these different demons, Krishna polished them off when he was 6 and 7. Now, this verse, they're enacting Krishna's Kaishur Leela on Gopastami, which is now it's Dwitya, Tritya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shasti, Saptami, Panchami. So 6 days from now will be Gopastami. When Krishna turned 6 years old, then he was a big boy. He graduated to take out the cows. And that's a big celebration. And Radharani runs behind him and then lifts up her sari and see Radharani's beautiful lotus feet. And maybe the same day there's some Leela where Krishna doesn't meet Radharani and she's very unhappy. Then he sends Subal to bring Radharani. Then Radharani and Subal exchange clothes. And Radharani dresses as Subal Sakha. That's called Subal Sakha Vesh. We may see in Radhakund in 6 days in some of the temples like Govindaji. Now I think so. Gopastami. See Radharani's lotus feet. At least with your eyes open. But when your eyes are closed, you can also see. This is the measure of one's devotion. Anyone can see with the external eyes, but only the devotee can see with the internal eyes the dazzling and sumptuous form of Krishna moving with Radharani. Moving, I said, not standing. Moving. They're not wax dolls in London, Madame Tussaud's wax museum. They're moving here and there. So we want to catch one of those movements and embed it deeply in our meditative moments alone with Krishna. Meditating on Krishna and Radharani and their leelas means you and them alone. and your own inner world, which is eternal. It's within you, and when you leave this body, it'll be without you, and you'll enter into it forever. This is a good prospect. For sure. Guaranteed. So Jiva Goswami Pad says, text 18, he says, after enacting various pastimes, in the summer, previous to killing Pralambasura, in these two verses, 18 and 19, they mark the appearance of Krishna's Kaishor age, which is favorable for Shringar Ras. Shringar Ras means that is the time, it's called the Vayasandhi, the juncture of girlhood and ladyhood and boyhood and manhood. And at that time, the lady, young woman, young man, they look so blossoming and so refulgent and excited and ready, ripe, mature. So that's why, and this is the, what are they ripe and ready, mature for is the amorous affairs of the lady and gentleman. So when the young man or the young lady reach this beautiful age of Kaishur, which is called, they have the adhikar and the interest and the overwhelming desire for meeting and enjoying together. And this decorates them with the greatest, deepest quality of thoughts and the greatest abundance of radiance and beauty. So when the boy and the girl at this age of teenagers, we can say, 14, 15, it's called Shringar Rati. Rati means a loving attachment, which is forever, eternal love, Madhurya Rati, amorous love, man, woman, love. But in the case of Radha and Krishna, it's called Shringar because Shringar means decoration, ornamentation, beautifying to the maximum extent and to the maximum possible degree. In the morning, we enact this bhav, depending on the pujari's bhav. But in the morning, every morning, we try to capture this moment, these few moments, which for Radha and Krishna is eternal, because Radharani is nitya, nitya kishori, pritamajori. Krishna is nitya kishori. So Krishna is always 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days, according to Siddha Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, and Sadhana Amrita Chandrika. And Radharani is 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. So how he measured, I can't say. But that's, at least he came up with a number, which everyone is running with. It reminds me of a question when I asked my teacher. I said, when we meditate, I mentioned the other day, when we meditate on Radharani or Krishna within our heart, what form should we see or think of some, look at some deity photo or some, our own Thakurji, and then close our eyes and try to see that form. I said, no, when you close your eyes in the form of Krishna you see in your heart, that's the form of Krishna you meditate on. So you don't need any murti or any painting. He's there. I said, okay, good. But until then, you may want to take advantage of the mercy of the Lord appearing as an archamurti, what we say, deity form or beautiful painting, which you think looks like Krishna or you think looks like Radharani. Someone else may disagree. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So the devotee is beautified by his devotion. His eyes see accordingly. So, same thing when considering Krishna's age. Siddha Krishnadas is seeing it 14, 9, 15, or 15, 9, 7.5. And you may see that Krishna is 15 years and 7 months. This is a subjective view. There's no absolute statement from our recognized Mahajans to confirm this point. So now the Shrinkar, 7:15 Shrinkar Artik. Have you heard? Have you seen? Maybe you've taken part in those moments. If it's nice to take part in quote unquote dress the deities from 5 a.m. until 7:15, and being very careful about what you're doing and very neat and colorful and balanced and moving and the way you pin up and all these things, it shows your expertise. But how much are you entering into the transcendental moment of what Shrinkar represents and what Shrinkar Rati represents? And are you dressing Krishna with the feelings of Radharani Shrinkar Rati? Because these were the points that we used to discuss back in the 1990s when I lived in Ramanreti. Or when was it? Not even 90s, 80s. 1987, 88, until 89. March, had many discussions with Indra Dasji about these dressing Radhasham. So the deeper bhav, to be able to enter, to be a follower of Shringar Ras, and to be absorbed in Shringar Ras, and always reading about the Shringar Rati Leela, Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna, that really makes a difference when you're dressed Radha and Sham or Radha and Krishna. So that's why when people saw the result of such a bhav, behind action is feeling, thinking, feeling, and acting. Only we're using our cognitive faculties to think, oh, I'll pin it up this way. That's thinking, that's nice. Your thinking is wrapped around the pleasure of Krishna. But what about feelings and entering, going into the different levels? So this is why this word is so deep and so beautiful and extensive in its application and in its meanings, Shrinkar Rati. You understand my line of thought? Thank you. So now we'll try verse 19. Because he's saying this Kaishora age is suitable for Shrinkar Ras. It's not much more he says. Nothing. And Vishnu Chakravarti says one thing. One gopi acted like Krishna, playing the flute to call the cows who had wandered far off and made them follow him. So, since everyone takes a role to support the other one, then so one gopi is calling the cows, hey Davali, hey Shavali, hey Shobha, hey Shreni, hey Yamuna, hey Gange, hey Tilak, hey Tilotama. So she's calling the cows by name and by different sounds they make. Hee hee hee, hee hee hee, hee hee hee. Eat her out, eat her out, eat her out. Come here. That's Hindi. Eat her out. Come here. Hee hee hee. Oh Shavali, oh Davali, oh Shona, oh Saraswati, oh Godavari, oh Yamuna. They have names of the rivers. Huh? Oh Ganga. Come here. So she's doing that. So if she's doing that, that means other gopis are becoming cows. So she's walking and calling them, and the other gopis are walking like this. Okay, we'll come behind you. This is the point Vishnu makes. Because when Krishna calls the cows, where's he going? He's calling them to come home. Otherwise, they wander here and there. He doesn't matter. And he's just enjoying. He is also wandering here and there. And he doesn't want people to matter what he's doing when he's in Radhakund. So then it's time to go home, and he has to collect everyone from the top of Govardhan Hill and all these places. So then Krishna calls them, and they all come running down the hills. They come out of the forest. They come from everywhere, and they fall in behind Krishna. And they say, he said, come on, let's go. Your mothers are waiting for you, the calves and the mothers and all these cows he's calling. So then when one gopi becomes that Krishna and says, come on, everybody, follow all the cows, come follow me. So then all the gopis are following like cows. This is what Vishnu is saying. So we have to see the pictures, the words convey. And then you see the pictures, the words convey, and then you try to feel the feelings that the within that conveyance and revelation of the Leela you're reading about. It's a matter of entering into it. Text 19. Oh, let's read. Oh, in the text 18, Prabhupada has his translation, a little different angle. Text 18. Ahuya dura ga yadvat krishnastam manavartatim venam kunantim kridantim anya sham shanti sadviti. Srila Prabhupada's translation, just as Krishna used to call the cows by their respective names, one gopi began to play in a flute. So they play the veena, they also play the flute. And another gopi praised her the way Krishna's boyfriends praised him while he played on his flute. Venam quanantim, kridantim. Sound familiar? Which came first, Brahma's prayer or the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone know the answer? Venam quavantim maravinda dalaya taksham. Bharavatam samasitam buddha sundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami govindam venam ko. Here it is. Venam ko kunantim kridantim venam kridantim Quanantim, kridantim, anya sham shanti sadviti. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhuati. It's a nice way to be, mad for Krishna. And we're hearing about Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto of Bhagavatam. He was mad after Narayan. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Because he was a Vishnubhakt, Prahlad Maharaj. And when he was not being tortured by the henchmen of Hiranyakashipu, then he was pining in separation from his Ishtadev, Narayan. He was in his little bedroom, his royal Yuvaraj bedroom. He's lying on his silk sheets and looking up at his canopy bed surrounded by dangling pearls and his gold post bed carved with Devis and celestial damsels. And he's crying oh, Narayan, Narayan, oh, Narayan. He stands like this, and he walks like this. He was entering into the nam rup gun lila of Narayan. And when he sits on his throne, he sits like this when he sits next to Lakshmi Devi. And he was sitting like that on the edge of his bed, like, oh, now I'm Narayan. And this way, he was totally absorbed in his Ishta Devata, the Bhava. Not that I'm Narayan, but that. And that seems to be what devotees do. Now you take it to us, taking the indication from the gopis, imitating Krishna, and so many examples are there, actually. And then you see that in the Gopi Bhav or Manjari Bhav and Raghunuga Bhakti, we are supposed, or another nice example in the, right now, since this Damodar Leela just happened, in the 10th canto, chapter 9, and that's part of the Damodar Leela, I think, chapter 9. And one verse is describing Mother Yashoda churning in the early morning before sunrise. She's churning yogurt into butter. And she's singing about Krishna. And the verse in Sanskrit is very accurately describing Yashoda Rani's form. She's wearing yellow sari and some bakul flowers in her hair, and as she moves her head from side to side, her earrings are dangling on her cheeks, and her breasts are moving this way, that way. And every very particular description of her form as she's engaged in this pure seva for the pleasure of her baby, Gopal. And the flowers and her bangles are jingling. She has many gold bangles, jing, jing, jing. And she's perspiring. So the very beautiful verse to visualize or see the absorption of Mother Yashoda in her service. I mean, we may be feverishly cooking in a kitchen. We're sweating and perspiring and so many things. I don't know about flowers falling from her hair. And usually in many temples, you have ladies or anybody with long hair has to kind of wear a bathing cap or something. You know, keep the hair from going in the dal. You know, it's like not too good. Pretty kacha. And especially if it's for Krishna, we're cooking for Krishna. So we make that sacrifice and tie our hair up like that. So then that verse is beautiful. And then Prabhupada, I mentioned this in one of my books, probably Art of Chanting. I quote this section. In the commentary in that 10th canto, chapter 9, verse from Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says, this verse is an ideal verse for meditation by anyone who's interested in Vatsalya Bhav. Anyone who's interested in Vatsalya Bhav and developing parental love for Krishna in the mood of Mother Yashoda as a mother, Vatsalya Bhav, then he can meditate on this verse. It's very helpful. So by this description and the purport, Srila Prabhupada himself is talking about Manjari Bhav Upasana. He's directing the line of thought, the object of meditation, and the practice of meditation is directed towards a Nitya Parishad. A Nitya Parishad, an eternal associate of Krishna Vrindavan, namely his mother Yashoda. And he's saying, meditate on the Naam, Rup, Guna, and Leela. So all those things are contained in this verse. Mother Yashoda's name is there. Very detailed description of her form is there. Her qualities of surrender and attachment, so many qualities are there. And her enthusiasm and many things. And then the Leela itself, that the Leela is she's churning yogurt into butter. So he said, this is an ideal verse for meditation. But are we interested in Vatsalya Bhav? Are we interested in becoming Mother Yashoda or like her? No. So now you substitute, you take Yashoda out of the picture, you put Radharani in the picture. And Sringharati or Madhurya Ras. When Radharani's like this, and then I'm doing this service. And then that's the whole sum and substance of meditating. You meditate on the particular Brijvasi, which represents the mood and the feelings and the bhav, and the sthayarati, or permanent mood of loving relationship, attachment you want for Krishna, you meditate on them. You want to be a coward boyfriend of Krishna and move with him and play with him and be like the coward boys and become a nitya sakha of Krishna and sakirati, then you model yourself and you meditate on the form of Subal and Sridham and what they do and what they look like, their dress and everything. So now we want to follow Radharani. We can meditate on Radharani and her form and her dress and her leelas. And we will become like Radharani. We'll get a divine female transcendental spiritual form, Siddhadeya. And if we want to be like Radharani and Sambhogachatmika, we have a desire to enjoy like Radharani with Krishna, then we'll become a Sakhi, like Lalita Vishaka. But the direction that we receive from our Guru and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the six Goswamis, we should become a Dasi of Radharani, a Radhasneya Adhika, like Rupa Manjari. So our role models, our Mahajans tell us our role models are Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari. So there's not so much free choice involved, although your heart may reach out to a particular mood of loving Krishna, and to be with Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the manjaris and Madhura Rati, that's your somehow inclination, or you've been pointed in that direction or received that type of mercy in this life or last life. So that's your interest. Kincha Anubhav. You have some slight interest and experience of that. You want that. How you want that or how you want to be in that position of love, you don't really know. It's some type of mercy, prakatana kripa or aranika kripa. It's kripa either way to have that. Because in koti koti janma, Rupa Goswami says you can pass millions of lifetimes practicing Vaidik sadhana and never have any idea about these things or any interest in this. This is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But somehow if you find, you get that mercy from last life, meeting or hearing from a Raghunuga Bhakta, or in this life that mercy comes by the same association with devotees or by the touch of Krishna's mercy, then somehow you'll rise above the crowd and start walking to the tune of a different drummer. And everyone's going east and they're happy with that, and that works for them. But you turn around in midstream and start swimming west and going in a different direction. Everything was good. Whatever brought you to where you are, it's all important and to be respected. And now go on with the future clear road which Krishna has put you on. It's his divine mercy. We accept it as such. But don't bite the hand that feeds you, and don't bite the hand that fed you. I don't know if this expression is in your language, but if someone is feeding you, then you shouldn't kick them or hurt them or insult them. And if someone has fed you, you shouldn't speak badly about them or kick them or insult them. So we come as a baby in spiritual life, and we grow, and we're fed and nourished and guided by so many well-wishers. We know this term, yes? You're ever well-wisher. Well, that applies to everybody. Your ever well-wishers are everybody. Your mother is your ever well-wisher. Your father, husband, wife, children, grandmother, friends, teacher, guru, they're all wishing you well on your road to perfection. So the text 18 translation we read, and I will speak something on verse 19. 10th canto Bhagavatam, chapter 30, text 19. Kasyaschit svabhujam nyasya chilantya ha parananu krishnaham pashyata gatim lalitam iti tan manaha. Translation by my astute Guru Bhai. Another gopi, her mind fixed on Krishna, walked about with her arm resting on the shoulder of a friend and declared, "I am Krishna. Just see how gracefully I move." Says, sounds like just like Krishna, cocky and proud. Look at me, I'm Mr. Cool. Oh yeah, you're really cool. Oh, Govinda. Radha. So there you go. Just see. A lot of people have that idea. And this verse, gatim, is there. Which gati means goal, it means movement, means many things. Shiva Goswami says this phrase, this word gatim means dancing. Krishnaham pashyata gatim. Pashyata means see how I'm manifesting. Aham, Krishna ham, I am Krishna. So we say, Radhika dasi aham, I am a dasi of Radharani. Gopis are missing Krishna, and they want to be with Krishna and be Krishna, whatever. We're missing Radharani. Why are we missing Radharani? Because we want to serve Radharani. Krishnaham, Krishnoham Pashita Gatim. So I am dancing. Because Gatim means dancing, according to Jiva Goswami. I am dancing like Krishna. See how I am Pashita. Pashiti means to manifest, means to see. What does it translate? Yeah, to see. See how I'm dancing like Krishna? And the translation we heard is that it's just moving. The BBT translation translated Gatim as, see how I'm manifesting Krishna's movement as I put my arm on the shoulder of this gopi, as we heard Krishna doing with Radharani in one of the verses of this chapter. And Vishnu Chakravarti, he says, in four verses, 19 through 22, which means beginning with this verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes how the gopis, who were totally absorbed in meditating upon and acting out Krishna's pastimes, came under the Sanchari Bhav known as Unmad. I guess they were crazy. Now some of them are super crazy. Thus they lost their own self-awareness. And they lost their own self-awareness. Now that's a big one. They lost their own self-awareness and they totally identified themselves with Krishna, exclaiming, "I am Krishna." And they walk around, "I am Krishna, and I walk around with my arm resting on the shoulder of Subal. Just see my graceful actions." So Vishwanath is identifying that it's not a gopi, it's Subal. Who is Subal? Anyone know? He's a coward boy that looks just like Radharani. You know, some men, they look very tough and rugged and strong or whatever, I don't know, whatever word you want to say. And some men, they have very gentle face, very soft, almost effeminate face. So Subal looks like Radharani. He's very cute. He's very cute. And he's about her age also. No, maybe I think he's a little bit younger than Krishna. Not that young, but a little younger. So he has the same color skin as Radharani, has a very soft voice like Radharani, and he has like this. Looks very, very attractive. Like you see, sometimes they have drama, then like these Ras Lila dramas, and they're boys. And sometimes different boys play Radharani because the Radharani may be sick that day. So the boy that usually plays Radharani looks a little like a girl. And especially when he, the Brahmin boy, is dressed up as a girl, he really looks like Radharani. You know, then sometimes some other gopi plays and it looks a little funny actually because he's so masculine. Even though he's dressed up as Radharani, it doesn't come off the same way. Because I understood from some people that know those actors that they're so brilliant, these Brahmins, that they train, maybe by training, that each one of them can play the role of each of the other one. So if you're one, may be typecast as Radharani and playing Radharani, but she also has to memorize for each Leela, memorize all her lines and memorize all Krishna's lines and memorize all Lalita's lines and Vishakha like this. So anytime any of them is sick, they can interchange and do, which I've seen also practically. I was amazed because I said, how is it? And then you can understand the great virtue of being born in a Brahmin family. It's some heavy computer up there. You know, one Leela is like 40 minutes long with hundreds of lines. It's a little hard to imagine. So when this just see my graceful actions. So that's all we have on 19. I don't know whether I have anything. I said on verse 17 I had a comment. In these verses the Brajagopis act out Krishna's amazing leelas to get free from the intense agony of separation. The damsels of Braj, they lose themselves in their imitations of Krishna like actors lose themselves in their roles within a drama, which we discussed yesterday about that Russian dramatist, Stylansky or whatever it is, you know better. So text 20. This is text 20. Mabhaishta vata varshabhyam tatranam vihitam maya hityut vaikena hastena yatant yunidhade dimbaram. Translation. One gopi said, "Don't be afraid of the wind and rain. I will save you." This is now she's in the mood of Giridhari, saving all the Brijvasis from the torrential downfall of Indra. "Don't be afraid of the wind and rain. I will save you." And then she lifted her chadar, her shawl above her head, as if she put her finger like this and went like this. "See, I'm lifting over that hill." It's actually very cute and beautiful. So Sri Jiva Goswami Pad He says, when the wind arose, in other words, they were walking through the forest, and all of a sudden, sometimes happens, there's a big gust of wind. And then the gopi, when that gust of wind came, this particular gopi, she took that as an inspiration and an exciting udipana to, oh, this is the wind, this is the samvartaka clouds of pralaya, devastation, have now descended and entered this forest, and tufan-like winds and hurricane winds. So now I will be Krishna. I'll lift Govardhan Hill to save all the gopis from the wrath of Indra. It's unmad, really mad. So I will save you. In this way, she imitated the lifting of Govardhan Hill. So Jiva Goswami says that. The wind arose suddenly, and they acted the Govardhan pastime because they were absorbed in different pastimes. And then Vishnu says, in order to graphically depict the Govardhan pastime, one gopi took her upper cloth and carefully raised it above her head to imitate Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. That's nice. The idea when you're hearing these descriptions is try to take a selfie in your mind. You know, we're always going around, tot, 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 tot. You know, we want to remember me. We should remember them. Take a selfie of them in your mind and remember them in your mind. Oh, see, here I am at Radhakund. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. At least Radhakund is there. There's some benefit. You can show everybody. They say, see, look, there's me. Acha, what's that water? What is that water behind you? Oh, that's Radhakund. But look at me. What do you say? Radhakund. Yes, Radhakund. Where is that Radhakund? No, but I have to tell you about why I'm taking this picture. No, I want to know. Where is this Radhakund? And little do you know, they may end up with a Radhakund Mahima Madhuri. That's a quotation. That title of that book is a quotation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kundera Mahima, Radhara Mahima. Kundera Madhuri, Radhika Madhurima. This is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. As this Radharani, this Kunda is so glorious, and so is Radharani. Kundera Mahima, Radhika Mahima. Kundera Madhurima, Radhika Madhurima. So this Kund is full of sweetness, and Radharani is full of sweetness. So Radharani is made of sweetness, Madhurya. Madhurima. Radharani is made of all the sweetness and attraction and satisfaction, fulfillment of Madhurya Ras, and so is Radhakund. When you bathe in Radhakund, you're bathing in Madhurya Ras. When you drink the water of Radhakund, you're drinking Madhurya Ras. When you see Radhakund, you're seeing Madhurya Ras. When you remember Radhakund, then Radhakund will carry you, wash you into the Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna. This is Radhakund. There's no difference between Radharani and Radhakund. Someday, somehow, some future life, we'll be born in this gaon, this Radhakund gaon, this village of Radhakund. And when we're born here, we get a certain heart and a certain bhav and a certain eye. And that heart and that bhav and that eye will create a conclusion and create a drishti or a vision. And when we see Radhakund, we will think, feel, say, and believe, this is Radharani. I'm seeing Radharani. If you know any Brijvasis, that's what they'll say. Oh, I'm going now. I'll be back in 40 minutes. I'm doing Radharani Prikama. Oh, I'm going to Radharani. I'm going to sit with Radharani and pray. Okay, we'll come back for dinner. That's how the boys or girls or parents will tell each other when they're leaving the house for a short time. Often I've told the story, the taxi driver from Radhakund, he took me to Vrindavan, Vidyapit Charai. I wanted to see Banki Bihari and Radha Vallabh and some Thakurjis. So I said, why don't you come with me? We'll see Banki Bihari. He said, no, I don't need. I already saw Radharani. I'm happy. I'm good with that. I saw Radharani before we left. I said, where you saw Radharani? So my car was parked in a sabji market right there. And before I got in the car, I saw Radharani. I paid pranams to Radharani. So I'm good for the whole day. I said, okay. So I went to see Monkey Bihari and all this. So that vision doesn't come easy. You can't imitate it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend. It doesn't work. It's not a Halloween costume party. Dress up as anybody and anything. You can fool your friends, but you can't fool God. That's the thing. All right, so text 19, I'll read again and see what we have to say. Kasyaschit swa bhujam nyasya chalantya ha para nanu Krishna ham pashita gatim lalitam iti tanmanaha. One of the gopis took another gopi on her shoulders, just as Krishna used to take his boyfriends. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, the gopi who was carrying her friend began to boast that she was Krishna herself. All of you just see my movements. So there's some commentary here. As the gopis act out Krishna's leelas, they enter into a deep state of meditation, which they're experiencing unmad, which is a type of madness in which one loses self-awareness and identifies completely with Krishna. This is what Vishnu said. This applies to Leela Smaran in Raghunuga Bhakti, one cultivating which includes Manjari, cultivating the idea of being a dasi of Radharani as a Manjari. we should also merge in the Leela and completely identify with our Manjari Sarup. That Manjari Sarup may be given to you by Sri Guru, may be given to you by Krishna in your dream, or you may see that and see yourself like that and want to be like that. That's also acceptable because that indicates the intensity of your rag and the intensity of your desire to be part of this whole Nitya Leela and have a particular individual identity there and a particular sarup. And that will come to pass. Whatever you're meditating on, that's what you'll attain. Krishna is unlimited. There's no limitation for Krishna. There's millions of unlimited forms of spiritual bodies. As Vishnu Chakravarti explains, somewhere in the Bhagavatam, they're talking about creation. Vishnu exhales and everything is manifest, and Vishnu inhales and everything goes within him. So Vishnu poses the question, which he answers himself. Someone may ask, when Vishnu inhales and all this creation that's manifest goes within him, what happens to Vrindavan? Because Krishna's Leela is eternal in Vrindavan, in the material world, and some planet in the material world, Krishna's Leela is prakat, or manifest, eternally going on. So when the material world and all those earth planets and all those different universes all go inside the body of Vishnu when he inhales, then everything is in a state of susupti. It's like inanimate, dreaming. It's like a dream. So then how is Krishna having his leelas when everything is in suspended animation inside of Vishnu? So Vishnu answers this question. He says when Vishnu inhales everything, then at that time, Krishna creates another universe. He creates another universe, and in that universe, there's an earth planet where Krishna can keep acting as leelas, even after. So everything is withdrawn into Vishnu, except this new universe that's appeared. You follow? So similarly, in the third canto, chapter 15, verse 14, and Priti Sandarbha comments, says that from Vishnu, unlimited spiritual forms of himself are manifested, and unlimited forms of the liberated souls are manifested and they're lying in Vaikuntha waiting for to be given to some liberated sadhana-siddha personality, soul, sadhana-siddha devotee. So I'm saying that if you're adopting your own persona and meditating on your own desirable siddhadeya, this is my name, and this is my age, and this is my skin tone, and this is my color of my dress, and this is my svabhav, and my mood, and my feeling, and this is my ornamentation, and this is I'm under this particular sakhi, and this is my manjari, and this is my kunja, and this is my nivas where I live, and this is my kunja where I serve. And you may see all these things of ekadash bhav, 11 symptoms of the sroop, and this is me. So if Krishna doesn't have, if Vishnu or Krishna doesn't have already expanded one of those spiritual bodies, when he hears your meditation, okay, I'll make one then. I'll make, as he made another universe to keep the leelas rolling, he'll make another. Oh, you want like this? Okay, no problem. Yeya tam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaha mama vart madavartante manusha parta sarvashaha. Gita 4th chapter, verse 11. Yeya tam mam prapadyante. Krishna's limited? No, he's unlimited. Anantam. Ananta rupam, ananta gunam, ananta lilam, ananta namam. And ananta bhakta, unlimited devotees. So don't be afraid. Rag is the scuba tanks. You know, if you have oxygen, you can dive very far. So if you have rag, then there's nothing blocking your way. Your attachment, your attraction for Radha and Krishna and serving them in a particular loving mood of eternity, you have your particular inclination and particular desires, and they should all be framed and shaped by the teachings of the acharyas. And if they are within the boundaries and within the descriptions that are given in the shastras, then there's quite a lot of leeway and freedom to move and meditate and make everything very individual. For example, when you read Braja Riti, everyone hears me, understands, it's clear. If you read a book, Braja Riti Chintamani by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which is basically a summary of some of the points from which he even acknowledges in one verse, Braja Riti Chintamani is a small book, Braja Riti Chintamani, by Vishnu Chakravarti. He's basically taken those things, which he often does, take things from here and there. He's taken all the basic ideas from that book from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur lived 500 years ago. As you know, he relished the sweet nectar from the big toe of Mahaprabhu, and he became pretty empowered by that. And then 300 years later or so, 200 years later, Vishwanath came along and said, oh, this is some good stuff here. Let me just copy and paste this over here. So he's done that here and there. And of course, he's added a lot of good things too. So in this book, and the other one, and also in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita, you'll see descriptions of Krishna's Nitya Lila, Astakali Lila. So it'll describe a very majestic and amazing descriptions of Nandagaon, the home of Krishna, Nanda Bhavan, the house of Nanda Maharaj, the palace of King Nanda, has the walls are solid gold and the pillars are made of coral pillars, and the rooftop is lapis lazuli and crystal beds and all like the most opulent things you can imagine. And then also in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, you'll find that. Then you'll find that when the demons were attacking Krishna and Gokul, like Vatsasura and Putana, then Upananda, the older brother of Nanda Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, is told, he suggested, let's get out of here. The demons, every 5 days, some demon comes to harass us and our Lala, Nandalal, Krishna. And there's a nice place in Vrindavan. It's kind of in between Nandagaon and Gokul, and there's no Keshi demon there, and there's no demons there. It's kind of a quiet area, peaceful area. So let's move there and resettle our whole community there. Because there, this clan of the clan and group of Gopis and Nanda Maharaj, they're called Abhira, A-B-H-I-R-A, Abhira. This particular group, like you must have heard of the Jats and the Gujaratis and the people from Rajasthan and the Yadavas and so many types of groups of people in India even today. So the Abhira, they take care of animals. And they're nomadic. They're nomadic. You know nomadic? It means they wander here and there. They don't have any fixed house. They don't live on 707 Green Street, apartment 4. You know, it's not like that. There's no mailing address. That's why they use parrots to communicate. Because parrots they're kind of like drones. They can move all around here and there, try to find out where Nanda Baba is. So you teach the parrot your message. It's like, you know, PMS, Parrot Messenger Service. And then you tell, hey, listen, parrot, I don't know where Nanda Maharaj is, but, you know, please convey to him that we're having a festival, such and such date, such and such time. So then the parrot says, "Bleep," and then hears the message and flies off and flies all around on reconnaissance mission. Finally finds, oh, Nanda Baba, I went to Nandagram, he's not there. I heard he went to Gokul. I went to Gokul, he's not there. I heard he went to Chatikar. So zip, zip, zip. So then the bird flies from Chatikar, from Gokul to Chatikar. Oh, so the parrot tells the news. You don't understand what I'm saying. So the parrot conveys the news of the Utsav, and that's how it goes. So in that description, on the one side it's all this opulence and grandeur, but then Kavi Karnapur is describing, and it's mentioned slightly in Brajavriti Chintamani, that they loaded all the animals, and they got all the animals and bulls and cows and buffalo and all the domestic animals, and they put the ladies, everyone's on bullock carts, bale gutties, a cart pulled by a bull. And then they moved in procession. Very beautiful description, fantastic description in Ananda Vrindavan Shampu. The book reads like some Hollywood movie, the Bible or some grand movie where they spent $50 million, the Moguls in India or something, Gandhi, these grand movies, time period movies where they have 15th century and, you know, all the costs they have to make for all that. So it says they're going in procession, and they had the guards, they had sentinels or whatever they call them, guards. Then they got to the Yamuna, and there was hundreds of boats, and the bulls were swimming across, and that was fantastic. So it's totally, Ananda Vrindavan Shampu is like that. It's like a 3D movie. It's so amazing. So then they got the Chatikar and lived there for 3 years out of their mobile homes. They're just living in their mobile homes for 3 years, their bullock carts. They lined up the bullock carts in a chatikar. Chatikar means half circle. The word chatikar means half circle. Chata, you know, chata means umbrella. You know, umbrella. It goes like this. It's like this. You know, umbrella. It goes like that. So the wagons went like this. That's called chatikar. It means Ardha Chakra or chatikar. Means half circle. So the wagons were back to back, like, you know, cars park in a parking lot. Like this, one wagon like that, one wagon like that, da 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 da. And then the one side, then, so the half the circle was like this, and the other half was all bulls. All the bulls, one bulls, and between the carts is all sticker bushes and bobble trees. So no one could enter between the carts, and then there was a wall. The finishing wall was bullocks. And then they had carpenters were there, the doctors were there, everybody was there. The whole village, everything was set up there, all a bunch of nomadic and living very simply. So one can, in your meditation, You can meditate on an opulent Vrindavan if you're into that kind of meditation. You want to see Vrindavan like that. Or you can meditate on a forest, natural forest Vrindavan. You can meditate on the Kali Mandir that Radha and Krishna meet. They meet in a fabulous temple in the middle of the forest and it's described with domes and three Lalita Sakhi's Kunja. There's a three-story building, like the building over there now. And then the third story is a panoramic room with no rooftop, and it has pillars, coral pillars, and all these things. And there's 16 rooms and a center room and 32 rooms and 52 rooms and 92 rooms. It's like, wow. It's like some spaceship from another universe. You know, and it's super opulent. Or you can forget that. You can meditate that a kunja is four kadamba trees. There's four kadamba trees in four corners. 1, 2, 3, 4. And between the kadamba trees, there's just mogra flowers and jutika flowers. The mandris and Brindadevi have put lines between the trees. See these lines? Green lines? Green wires? So like that. They put a string or whatever between the trees. Then they plant mogra, which we've done. Mogra. And then mogra will become like a creeper. So between the trees, the walls are flowers. Flower walls and kadamba trees, and the kadamba trees are hanging down, making a natural canopy. And inside, the flower bed is not crystal bed and gold bed and all the things that are described in the opulent thing. It's a bunch of lotus stems, 2 feet thick, or let's say, what do you say? Half a meter of lotus stems, all intertwined like that, and that becomes a box spring. You know box spring, like in a bed? And it's very springy also. And then that's covered with one meter of flowers. And then there's a flower pillow. There's actually some cloth, some silk, and it's stuffed with flowers. It's just not cotton, or like we may use cotton or some other unmentionable thing. But it's covered with flowers. So that you can have your Vrindavan like this, or you can have your Vrindavan with the gold and diamonds and big palace on the top of Nandagram. Radhakund, you read in Govinda Lilamrita, crystal steps, and this and that, or it can just be mud walls. You ever go in the forest? You ever go in the forest and come to a lake, and you're trying to find where I want to get in there. I want to take a bath where I can get in there. It's all trees and little cliffs, and you see some little low area. And it's not even kind of slide down the mud to get in there. Kind of slide in, and getting out is sometimes hard. And then you're looking around for snakes and different things if it's safe. Maybe better to ask somebody locally. There's a big alligator living there. Oh. So then you swim around and there's just all trees lying around. The trees are bending over the river and they're dropping flowers and bees are buzzing around. This is Radhakund. So you understand. So people get bewildered. Well, you know, it's like this, like that. So because both options are there. Because I was just reading, because I like the nature walla. I don't like the gold walla. So the gopis are walking with no shoes. Krishna walks with no shoes. On one level, you read in Krishnaika Komuli, when Krishna comes out of his... talk about amazing. Krishna's living in a palace. And there's a real juxtaposition, Kavi Karnapur, as I mentioned, Nanda Vrindavan Champu, and he does this juxtaposition of Aishwarya Madhurya. Aishwarya landscape and Madhurya landscape, he also does in Krishnaika Komuli. There, Krishna's in his palace and his bed. Then he opens up a door to go to his garden. So within his bedroom, is like a half-acre garden. And when he actually meets the gopis out there, the gopis come and meet him in his garden at midnight and have Leela there in his bedroom garden. I mean, that's one sense really opulent, but at the same time, it's amazing. Must have seen. And some office buildings in India, they have rooftop gardens. Have you ever seen in your life? Well, here in India, there's an office. It says, Gillette razor blade or Colgate toothpaste. You know, some big international companies that are in India, because I visited some of these kind of big people when I went to Bombay. Because there's a famous company that was making ghee. I forget the name of it. Dynamix, called Dynamix. They sold out to some other company. They were making pure cow's ghee. And I was there on some preaching in Bombay, and I wanted to meet the owner of the company I convinced him to donate ghee every year to Radha Shyam Sundar for their full needs of the kitchen. So Bhuvaneshwar said they need about 1,200 kilos a year. That's a lot. 1,200 kilos, Radha Shyam. That's about 4 kilos a day. Jai. Krishna's an enjoyer. Fry those puris and fry those cheese and those cakes. Anyway, that's the figure I was told. And it's not much for the owner. So it was really hard to meet him, but somehow we met him. And he had the whole building was about 10 stories high. It said Dynamics Dairies. It was this big office complex. So that finally we got to meet him. We went up to the fourth or fifth floor, and we were there in his office, a big office. There was one wall was glass sliding doors, they call it, sliding doors, the wall. I looked out. I was like a little bit like confused. Am I in the fifth floor or am I in the ground floor? That was the first I've ever seen. I looked out. I said, what? I saw big trees. It was a whole like forest outside. And I said, what? Where are we? What is going on? He said, this is a rooftop garden. So there, Krishna's in his bedroom, which is very opulent. And he goes out to it's not a rooftop garden. It's in Krishnaika Kumudi. It's over there, a little skinny book. And then there's all trees, and there's a lake there. There's a lake inside his bedroom. It's like, wow. So this kind of amazing nature is there. So Vrindavan is, when Sanatan Goswami makes a comment, he says, in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't wear shoes. In Mathura, Krishna wears shoes. And Kurukshetra, Krishna wears shoes on the chariot. And of course, in Dwarka. But here, he doesn't wear any shoes. So if Krishna doesn't wear shoes, then we don't need any lapis lazuli and all these things. Is that right? Acha. That's nice. Sri Radha. Very nice. Has to be yellow, that's for sure. All right. So let's go. Mridanga player is here, and we have to go. So anyone wants to go on Harinam, they can leave their bags here. They'll be locked up. And tomorrow we'll continue somehow in the 10th canto, chapter 30. The prasad is there. Someone can give out prasad. And after Harinam, if anybody comes back with Harinam, then there'll be Anukut prasad from yesterday. Shrimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.